Lord, thank you for who you are.
Yes, Lord.
That you never change. Lord, it's one thing that we can count on, Lord, is that you never change.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we ask you to come now and thank you, Lord, that you live in us. Lord, you place us in you. Lord, you're all around us, too, and you come and fill places. And where we gather, you tell us where just two or three are gathered. You're there. So, Lord, I pray for every person. Just fill every person. Or just give them a fresh filling of your Spirit. And just ignite the very atmosphere with the kingdom of God. In all things of your kingdom, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, it's good to see everyone. Some I haven't seen in quite a while. Some I've seen a lot. Some I've seen too much of. Yeah. Can only handle so much of Mark. We knew you were going to see him at Lazarus. I mean, he's been through like, what, 28 times, 29 times? Yeah, that's right. Going through every team, we've just like, dude, we can't do anything else for you, you know. But no, we're glad he's here. He brought his a good friend with him from North Carolina, right, Wilmington. I did remember that. Yeah. We're just glad you're here, brother, to be a part of us. It's a fun weekend just to hang around here, hang out in the teachings and just the atmosphere. Last night I was just kind of opened up to this place during this downtime I've had with getting this. For those that don't know, just had a CSF leak, cerebral spinal fluid leak, which they are not fun at all. Had one for a long time, and it took them a long time to diagnose me because this kind of the world we're in and the doctors I went to and were sent to didn't know what was going on with me. Misdiagnosed a lot. And so just got, by God's sovereignty, we found a guy in Denver, Colorado, who specializes in CSF, especially those which I have, which I was leaking into a vein. I forgot what it's called. Me, you probably know, venous fistula or something like that. I was leaking, the fluid was leaking into a vein, so it wasn't puddling up anywhere, which normally it would, that's how they find it. But he actually invented the equipment to do so. And the first thing that came out of his mouth said, 10 years ago, he said, I would have been laughed out of a room by my contemporaries, you know, for the technology that we have now on it. But he said there was just something driving within me not to stop, to keep going, that there were all these people who had all the symptoms of a leak. They weren't able to find one, but I know they had to have had, there was a leak somewhere. And so thank God for him and that he kept on. So I'm still in the, I don't know how many years that's been. The last patch I had was April 4th of last year. And so I'm about 75% better than at my worst. So being up here to be able to do this is just really cool. I've been able to do this for a while. So this is fun. But during that time, I just really used it as a time, because being honestly, there was a time I didn't know whether I was going to punch the clock. You know, it was just my time, and which I would have been okay with. But the Lord just made it really clear, no, it's not your time. I've set you aside for a time. And so, all right, Lord, if you've done that, then here's what I want to do. I want to know who you really are. I want to know about you, and I don't want to read someone else's experience about you, which can help, right? But I want to know who you really, really, really are for me. Because that's God's desire for all of us, is that we know who he really, really is for us. Who are you in me? Who do you want to be for me? in every situation, who do you want to be for me today, right? In this situation, who do you want to be for me now? And we would have the weirdest conversations because it's usually really late at night. And when I was up going to the bathroom at 2 or 3 a.m., you know, and I'd be normally distressed about something, you know, something that had no control over or how I was going to get this done or do that. And he would just, hey, man, what you thinking about? God, you know what I'm thinking about. Well, I've got something better for you to think about. What you're thinking about is not really giving you much peace, is it? Not really, Lord. You know, well, I've got something better for you. How about let's exchange? Let's exchange your thought, your negative, for something positive, you know. And the negative will, a negative thought just feeds an emotion, a negative emotion. You know, if you have a negative emotion, negative thought is going to feed that negative emotion. And Jesus is never negative about anything, right? He's always positive. He doesn't live in the past. Matter of fact, as Scripture, according to Scripture, we don't look behind us, right? We look ahead. We run forward. He's the God of now and forward. You know, our past is forgiven. We let go of. That's the reason shame is one of the things that people get ministered to this weekend. Really one of the heaviest weights that we carry is shame or guilt or condemnation. One of the heaviest anchors of our soul. See, and that's always tied into the past. I can't tie shame into the future, right? Anxiety is in the future. Shame and guilt is in the past. So you'll get a chance for him to cut that off of you. And you get to enter into his life. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Because I turned to this place, and the Lord told me, this is a long story, I'm just telling one little part, but pay attention, I'm going to be speaking to you in a lot of different ways. Ways that you're not accustomed to hear me. And so one was really cool, was timely words, which I call them because they were time. And my phone would beep, you know, I'd look at it, or ting, you know, look at it, be a certain time, like it's 12:17 now. So I would Google chapter 12, verse 17, Bible. And if it was something would pop up, the word I needed to hear at that moment. And he just did so many different things like that. I'll talk about it another time, how he just spoke in sovereign, or just a YouTube feed would pop up, you know, or something just like that. Or he would speak sovereignly through a car tag, just all kind of ways. Like on the way here, reminded me of Isaiah 66. I got behind a car and the tag said 66. Isaiah 66 is where he says, shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery? Reminded me of the promises he's made in my life that haven't been fulfilled totally yet, but they will be, because he never brings to the point of birth and doesn't give delivery, because that's who he is, right? The problem is not on his end, the problem is on my end with unbelief or fear. Fear is always tied into unbelief. It's like a coin. One side fear, the other side is unbelief. I'm in fear because of unbelief. Right, and the only thing that's going to cast that out is perfect love casts out fear. And knowing the love of God for you, and part of who he is what we talk about today, just for a few minutes, is just my times, and this is Lord said, just open your Bible, last night did, Psalm 31, 32, kind of there. See, I didn't have that music accompany, that's even better. That would have been even a better story, wouldn't it? And all of a sudden, this music came on out of nowhere. It's just, how about that happen too, Lord? You know, turn on my radio and send them my black stuff. And Back in Black came on by AC/DC, you know? So God can use stuff like that, right? Hey, you're back. You're back in your black. You're back in your black stuff again. Back in your priest clothes. So that was cool. My times are in your hand. This is what David said. But as for me, Lord, I trust you. I say that you're my God, and my times are all in your hands. and to deliver me from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant, and Lord, save me in your loving kindness, which is new every morning, right? New continually. That's the reason we have to hear it every day. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Let me not be put to shame, or let me not carry shame. Lord, we talked about that. Let the wicked be put to shame as from him. And he talks about stopping the lying lips from the enemy. And how great is your goodness, verse 19 of 31. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, who revere you. Which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you. You hide them in the secret place of your presence, away from the conspiracies of man. And you keep them in the shelter and from the strife of tongues, or in God's presence. And David talked about living in he dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, David lived in a visitational culture, in a culture when God would just come and visit. You know, you'd seek the Lord, and you could have an encounter with the Lord, but he would just kind of come upon you, and then, you know. But something greater happened, Jesus brought. Now we are a habitational culture where he inhabits us, and he placed us into Christ Jesus. And so all these good things that he's had stored up are always found in his presence. And his presence is fullness of joy. And in his right hand are pleasures forever. We were talking about that yesterday. Is it possible? And Jesus said, Paul was talking about Jesus set us free from everything, right? There's nothing that he hadn't set us free from. But he also has called us into something. Set us free from something to experience something else, which is it possible to experience his joy, the real joy of the Lord, which is in us. Jesus said, my joy I give to you. Not I'll give you joy, my joy I will give to you. And my peace I give to you. You know, he's always talking about what would happen to us when we, and there's another verse if you're listening to this or whatever, you can go back in Isaiah 33, says that you are the stability of my times, you're the faithfulness of my times. And I have to believe that. I have to believe that God is always working in me, around me, and for me, right? No matter what it looks like. And I was amazed how many times, if you read the Psalms, where David would start out, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually believe in my mouth. Well, if I don't believe that my times are in his hands, and he is the stability of my times, and he is the faithfulness of my times, and if I'm not really convinced of his love for me, right, then I'm not going to experience the joy of the Lord or the peace of the Lord, right? My experiences will be fear and anxiety and all those other things that we experience and he'll use that language with me today, that if I'm carrying it or I'm in fear or I'm worrying or whatever, which is easy to do, he'll say, that belongs to me. I died for it. Give it back to me. All right, Lord, you're right. This is yours. So I've been kind of in these verses in Philippians. This kind of ties into because Philippians is the whole thing's about joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, you know. And that's supernatural, guys. That just doesn't, there's always that argument. Now, is it really joy? Are you happy? Or can you be happy? And, you know, no, it's joy. I mean, you know, that's what he said. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is just the fruit of the life of Christ. That he's full of joy, right? The atmosphere of heaven is joy. Love and joy and peace. And you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? So that's the real atmosphere around you. So that's where we've got to learn to live our lives, in that place. That's the secret place. That's the place from where we live. You're not supposed to say where we live from, right? Again, end the sentence in a preposition, right? But y'all get what I'm saying. That's where we live at, right? That's where we're supposed to live continually, from that place. And that's what Paul is saying here when he's saying, where he's, and these are familiar verses to all of us, where he's counting all things lost in view of the surpassing value of really knowing who Christ is, intimately knowing. That he said, Lord, I want to really, 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 really know you. From whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. And may be found in him. And you know, that word, may be found in him, again, the English just makes it so like weak sometimes. But really the meaning is that I may always be found being in him. That I always may be found at any moment being in Christ. Celebrate it. We can do that because we're in Christ. He's in us, right? We're a habitational culture. We're seated with him. That's a mystery. There's no way you can understand that. You just live it and celebrate it, right? That we may be, I'm always may be found in you. Every time, every moment. And if I'm at a moment where I'm not being found in him and I'm blowing it, I can immediately be found in him. Like, whoa, what am I doing? What am I getting? The other night, it was just given to just, I was aggravated about something that just, you know, and I was kind of taking it out on people in my home. And wasn't their fault, right? I wasn't being found being in Christ at that moment. But there was no condemnation. He just called me back like, hey, what are you doing? Yeah, I don't have to give in to this. You're greater than that, Lord. I just give in to your peace. And so I had to go do the whole repentance thing the next morning, you know, which is good because that's not who I want to be. And they know that. One more thing. I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness which comes through him, his righteousness, the righteousness which comes from God, that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection life now, since I've been raised up with him. I may know the power. And the next one says, that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings, right? And that can be used to know God's fellowship in the midst of sufferings, that we can. But that word is actually a word for deep emotions, that I can have the fellowship of his emotions as well. And the fruit of the Spirit of all that is our emotions, most of it. Love and peace, right? Peace in my heart is an emotion that I feel. I'm at peace with God, but I can have the peace of God. God loves me, but I can love and I can feel the emotion of love. So being found in him, as Paul said, knowing the fellowship of his sufferings, even if it's suffering and I'm in sufferings, I can still know fellowship with him and be drawn in, which is no greater time to be drawn in, especially when, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I mean, sometimes he kicks your feet out from under you and you can't go anywhere else. The only thing you can do is lie down in the green pasture, right? And there he restores your soul. And that's the purpose of making you lie down. So he can do that. So knowing the fellowship of his emotions, that means I can enter into, encounter what he feels, what he thinks in any situation of life. What he thinks about you, what he thinks about you. He loves telling you what he thinks about you. Matter of fact, he spends most of his time talking to you about you. That's what I spend most of your time talking about, you and him, because it's relational. And then as we're going on in life and ministry and doing just stuff, we can experience that emotion there, but I can also experience his emotions, his thoughts, in every life situation. I can know the fellowship of his deep emotions. And it says being conformed, going on being conformed again to his death so that I could attain everything that he brought me through his resurrection. So you'll be hearing a lot about this stuff over the next few days, but I just think that is the coolest thing in the world. Not only that my times are in his hands, and everything will be fulfilled in its proper time, right? You don't want to rush God. He doesn't get in a rush anyway. He's like, at 11:59 with 59 seconds, you know, 1 second left to go, he shows up. You know, he's kind of like that. You've ever noticed that? But you can know the fellowship of his emotions. That's what it means when Paul said, I'm controlled by the love of Christ. It controls me. It constrains me, right? So it's not, I said this yesterday, it's not about how much of God you have. You have all of him. You can't get any more of him than you already have. It's just how much of us does he have? That's where it's found. And he must become your secret place, your hiding place, your refuge, your life. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, according to Colossians 3, then you will be revealed with him in glory. When he becomes your life, you share his life much better. Because the stuff I was experiencing was definitely rubbish. And that's what he said. You've got a lot of, he didn't use that word rubbish, but you've got a lot of junk that we need to get rid of. I said, let's do it. So we'll be on that journey forever. But we did get a lot of stuff taken care of. Yeah. And word for this lady next, young lady next to you. I feel like I should know you, but
that's Charity.
Huh?
What, her daughter?
Oh, Charity. I knew that. Yes, I knew that. I was just seeing if she knew that I knew that. I saw what I saw just kind of out of you were these flowers, but they were weren't real, you know, fake, I guess, whatever you call flowers. But I saw them being exchanged, being pulled out, and then. Real flower begin to grow, just a variety of flower just growing out of you. Remind me of scripture in Song of Solomon that talks about that, about our garden, and it just bringing forth its fragrance. This means God calling forth who we are in Christ, who he is, who we are in him. And I think that's really going to happen this weekend, you know, that the real deal is coming forth and coming out, you know, not that you haven't experienced that, but more of that. And it's just more of a variety because there's all kind of different types of flowers and stuff like that. So it's just going to be a really good time for you.
And Ed, let's all three of you guys get a word. I just saw you stepping into a new authority, and I think it's going to be connected to the revelation, some things God's really going to show you this weekend. But I saw the Lord like taking you, and where there's just been moments of just kind of maybe just kind of I don't know any other word to say except maybe just being like sheepish about some things in the Lord. I just saw the Lord just putting this solidifying in you this authority and understanding of who you are.
I'm going to jump on the back end of that. So what I was saying when I was praying for you was, you know, that part in The Wizard of Oz when it goes from black and white to color, where everything just kind of comes into a sharp focus and it's brilliant. That's the place you are right now in your relationship with the Lord. He's bringing you in a place of technicolor seeing and knowing. He's going to bring some things into sharp clarity that you may have had some questioning about. You've walked through a lot of stuff. But the Lord is the Lord of new. He's always new in you. His mercies are new every morning. And so lean into him because it's going to be a ride. It's going to be better than you ever thought it could be.
I have one for you in the striped shirt. I just really felt like God was saying that you're going to have a real encounter with him this weekend, and you're going to really learn to live in the forgiveness that he has for you, that there's going to be such a freedom that you're going to experience, just in a lot of places that you've held on to for so long. So I just bless that in Jesus' name. And then for Charity, it's weird that he said the flowers thing, because I was looking at you and just kept hearing, like, the flowers in your hair by Lumineer song. But the Lord's really saying that all of the questions, like, why am I not this? Why is this happening for this person? And all the things that, you know, we turn on ourselves and be like, well, it must be because I'm not enough of this or that, that Jesus is really showing you this weekend that he's kept you hidden and that you're coming into your time and that you're just going to be surrounded by people that see it.
Amen. I had a word for you too in the striped shirt. Anna was giving you that word. I was seeing like you were dragging a sledgehammer, and on the hammer itself was like 16. I was thinking 16, but then the Lord was like Psalm 16, you know. And then all of a sudden it became extremely light, you know. And some of the stuff I quoted out of Psalm 16 today is going to be become reality to you. You know, there's so much good stuff in there. It ends with, in your presence is fullness of joy. But there's much more. There's all kind of cool stuff in there where the Lord is a portion of my cup. He's my inheritance, you know. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places, and just stuff he's going to really just get in you this weekend. Not just get in you, but he pulled it out of us. Life.
Father Mark Johnson, your guest that you brought with you, have a word for you. I really feel like the Lord's saying he has given you a mantle, but you have been carrying it in your own strength, and it has become very, very heavy. And what he wants to do for you this weekend is to show you how to operate in that, but not carry it. Let him carry it.
I had a word for you too. I just saw you coming up, like almost like coming up out of a grave, and things where you've just had weights and felt like you've been weighted down. I saw you coming up out of this place and these things just burning off of you, and you running faster than you've ever ran before. And that would be faster into the things of the Lord. And I believe there's just going to be a quickening in you of revelation and understanding and seeing things that you've just longed for years.
I think you've been praying for a deeper relationship, a deeper experience with the Lord. Psalm 66 comes to mind that, you know, you caused men to roll over my head and you brought me through fire and these things, but you brought me out to, some translations say, a wealthy place. Other translations, a wide place. It's really a place of his abundance. You know, the Lord's pursuing you. And scripture tells us to seek the Lord while he's willing to be found. You know, he's wanting to be found by you in such a way that you've not known. Just lean into that. Because you're going to come to a greater experience, you know. Bishop talks about, you know, we always long after breakthrough. And we want to come to this place of breakthrough, but it's backwards. Breakthrough brings you to a place of encounter. It's the encounter that we long for. And so you're going to encounter him in such a way this weekend that you've not seen. And it's going to bring you into a deeper level of foundation and standing in your relationship with him and the people you minister to. And it's going to produce a harvest just in your heart. See, God does stuff for us, for other people, not for us.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing, we don't, you know, Western Christianity particularly, we think it's all about us. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do, he called you to be Christ to them. And he's going to allow you and empower you to be Christ in a new way that you've not been able to do before. And it's going to touch lives. You're going to see change that seemed like you would had to toil for years to see any sort of success. And you're just going to see things start to pop like popcorn. You're just going to start to see the hand of God moving. And it's going to be restful.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
It's going to bring an ease and a peace in your heart that you've not known.
Amen.
The color watch of the striped shirt, I see a big, beautiful color rainbow over you. He said he was sending rainbows and butterfly kisses to you.
Amen. We also have a word for you. And I saw you pulling a donkey. It wasn't him. It wasn't Mark. You were pulling it, thinking, like a donkey. And I was thinking of the scripture where Jesus rides in on the donkey, a colt, you know, and the scripture talks about his gentleness. And then that scripture that came when he's asking for all to come to him who are weary and heavy laden, and he'd give us rest, and to take his yoke upon us and learn from him, for he's gentle and humble in his spirit, and learn from me that. Just by being here, and God's going to do this work in you. And you're going to encounter the gentleness of God. And it's like taking a new, she was talking about a yoke upon you, and this is going to be a yoke of refreshing, and a yoke of sonship, and the yoke of just I can't explain what I'm seeing, but you're just going to encounter a different side of Him than you've ever known before, in a sense. I mean, you know the Lord, of course. You've known Him for years and been in ministry, but that's what that was all about. Placing that is giving you rest and hearing His voice speak to you and say over you, which I was hearing that word, that scripture too, is, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." And know that God, how pleased God really is with you.
I have one for Jeremy. I just really felt like God was saying, like, this weekend, just go in completely open. And He's inviting you into this place where you don't have to be afraid of it. He went before you. He knows exactly everything about you, and it's going to be better than you expected.
And He's asking you to dance. He's asking you. He's inviting you into a deeper, intimate relationship with Him. So it's not just about come to this weekend and sit and listen and be rigid and try to receive something, but dance with Him. Take Him by the hand. He's your beloved. Come into that deeper sense of knowing who He is in you. That's the experience you're going to have.
We have a number of people that are volunteers for the Lazarus Weekend we have coming up. And this is not me as Lazarus coordinator. This is, I really believe, from the Lord. And that is, you know, starting Friday night and Saturday, you'll be ministering. But between now and then, raise your level of expectation higher than you've ever had it, that the Lord is going to encounter you. And from that encounter, there's going to be amazing ministry that happens Friday night and Saturday. But don't, between now and Friday night, don't be so focused on what you may be ministering, but focus on what the Lord wants to say to you. And for those that are going through the weekend, I already know your level of expectation is raised, but raise it even higher, because these folks that are here, they're going to have encounters with the Lord, and it's going to impact their ministry with you. So we're really, really excited about this weekend.
Charity? So what I was hearing was, you have some dreams, but the Lord's going to put new dreams. And then I just had this real sense that there's times that you kind of wonder where you belong. Sometimes you feel like you're on the outside looking in. And then I saw you placed on a mountaintop, and you could see vastly. And the Lord's putting you to a place that now you're going to have a completely new perspective. And any sense of comparisons with others, or where do you belong, or any outside looking in, all that's going to fade away because of these dreams and this perspective you're going to see, and you're going to see stuff and go, "Oh, wow, I had no idea." So a whole lot of stuff's going to open up.
Amen, that word Karen had. Because the Lord's been speaking about, anytime we come through those doors, is raise the level of your expectation.
Amen.
You know, when that expectation hits, there's expectation that just electrifies the atmosphere. And Jesus, even in His hometown, we were reading that yesterday, we couldn't do very many miracles because of their unbelief, you know. But when there's that level of expectation and belief, and she's talking to the team people who are praying for you, and team members, and also everyone's invited to the teachings, which is 7 o'clock tonight, 9:30, and 10:30 tomorrow. Is that right, Karen? And tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 and 4:30? Or just 2:30? What time's the teach? Do one afternoon session at 2:30. You're invited. Anyone can come to those. And so, come. You can come Friday night and do worship. also. But there's a time when we bring the people forward, minister to. And if you're not a part of the team, you have to exit them. But be expectant. I mean, be expected to minister to just as much of the people who are coming here are getting ministered to. Amen. Just takes one encounter to totally change your life.